chapter 16 of 2 Samuel. Help us tonight. Verse number 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, these asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. Would you bow your heads tonight one more time and ask God to help us here tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your many blessings, God. We're so thankful for this opportunity for your goodness and your wonderful works to us. Lord, we ask you tonight to help us to preach your gospel, to say exactly what needs to be said, and do that that needs to be done. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in your wonderful and wonderful name we pray tonight. Amen and amen. Kind of a strange subject. Well, not really a strange subject, but I reckon I've never been accused of being normal. So if the Lord will help me tonight, I'd like to preach to you from the bungalow to the boonies. Amen. From the bungalow, maybe you'll get that in a little while, to the boonies. I know a bungalow is a long way from a castle. And before this passage of Scripture, that's where David dwelt. In the lofty heights. I mean, can you imagine dwelling in a castle? I can't fathom that. I mean, I've been in nice houses and seen a lot of nice things, but I can't imagine having rooms upon rooms upon rooms. I mean, there's probably places in that castle that David had never even saw. Places that he would never walk or go into. It was so large and eloquent. And I know up to our standards, he didn't have air conditioner, didn't have any fans, and didn't have electricity. But back in that day, it was the best thing going in that time. And when I think about that, I think about a bungalow. You know, one of those little tropical cabins off somewhere, and all you've got to do is just relax. Don't have to think about anything. Don't have to worry about the cares of life. Don't have to worry about problems. I just picture, somebody laid back in a hammock, the fan blowing upon them, and maybe they're sipping not an alcoholic drink, but one of those drinks with the funny umbrellas in them or something. And got the flip-flops on, and I mean, they're just having the time of their life. And just relaxing and enjoying life all together. And to me, that's pleasurable. Some folks will never be able to afford that, and they'll never know what it is to have that type of luxury. And probably you and I won't have that luxury, but there have been times in my life where I have kicked back and enjoyed the peace and tranquility of God. I mean, I might not have been in a mansion. I might not have been in a bungalow or out in some secluded cabin. I might have been in the midst of a turmoil and noise and the midst of people all around. But all of a sudden in prayer, I found a place of relaxation and comfort that only God can give. Amen. Moses knew that when he said, Lord, show me thy glory. And God said, I'm going to place you in the cleft of the rock. And when I pass by, you're going to see my hinder parts. Amen. When he passed by, Moses didn't see all of it, but he got enough to make him feel better. Amen. I haven't seen all God has to offer, but can I tell you tonight, I've got enough. I've
saw enough to make me feel better and to encourage me on my journey. Amen. David dwelt in that castle of this great king, this great man of God, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. Amen. But can I tell you, sin is a thing that destroys. It will take a life of prosperity and popularity and bring it down to a miserable existence. I'm telling you, sin, I said sin will destroy. And because of choices that David made, Absalom didn't become wicked all of a sudden, but Absalom was taught deceit and lies by his father. Amen. David could not make up his mind. Amen. David could not keep his eyes from lusting, and he could not keep himself from feeding upon those lusts. And because of that, that sin began to affect his family. And now his son, I'm not talking about an outcast. I'm not talking about the enemy, the Philistines. Amen. Anybody like that. But I'm talking about David's own son, and now is trying to take the kingdom from his father. Can you imagine being stabbed in the back, not by an enemy, but by your own son? And that's what David is facing right now. He has left the castle, and the Bible said that he began to climb that hill. Amen. Then Ziba came. He began to tell him what he had brought, and he said, "This wine be for such that are faint in the wilderness." I looked up that word wilderness, and one of the words out beside it, it talked about a desert, it talked about a wasteland, it talked about a rough land, but one of the words that caught my attention was boonies. Amen. You know what boonies are, don't you? I mean, out in the middle of nowhere, out in the sticks and swamp, I mean, somewhere you really don't want to be unless you got a purpose and a reason to be there. And now David finds himself not in the lap of luxury, but David finds himself fleeing from his own son. Amen. The first thing I noticed about David, that David was dethroned from the throne. Amen. David left that castle. David left that position of authority and began to flee for his own life. Now when you read the Bible and you begin to study about David and his character, you begin to study about him and his life, one of the things that stick out to me was his popularity. Amen. David was a popular fellow. Amen. Wouldn't you like to have King David over for supper? Wouldn't you like to have David come to your house? Amen. To be able to say, you know, I had a visitor today. King David came by. Oh, some would like that. And no doubt would be honored, I would, to have such a man sit at my table. Amen. When they begin to sing their songs, Saul and all his authority, Saul and all the things that he accomplished, when they sung and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Amen. They danced and sung about that hero David. It was David that when nobody else would fight, that would stand up and say, is there not a cause? And go against that Goliath. And when Saul said, you're not able, when Saul said, you can't bring him down, David said, moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He shall deliver me out of the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine. Amen. That's the David I'm talking about. It was David when the kingdom was put in his hands, when David regained authority. Amen. One of the first acts that he did was, he said, boys, we got to get back the presence of God. Let's go after that ark. Amen. They did it wrong the first time, but that second time they did it right. And when they come back, something got a hold of David. He laid aside that priestly garment, or that kingly robe. He laid aside that authority, and he began to dance a jig. I mean, David had a time. I said, David had a time. I was talking to Abigail the other night, my little girl, and I was trying to explain what David done to her. And you know, sometimes you got to break it down to their level. And I said, Abigail, I said, basically, old David got to dancing and had him a good time. Amen. He got to dancing for God, and he didn't care what anybody else thought or what they said. I'd like to have that kind of attitude in youth camp. Well, you go ahead and sit here and watch if you want to. I think I'm just going to have church. I think I'm just going to let God have his way this week at youth camp. I said, but baby, you know, when he got home, amen, there was that wife. And she looked at him and said, now, David, let me tell you one thing. You done went out and embarrassed the family. You done went out and got wild and got to dance with that church group. And I'm ashamed of you. You know what a lot of you men, amen, would have done? You'd have said, I'm sorry, honey. Shout amen while you bump your partner. Amen. Come on now. Hey, I'm not going to do it again. But David said, let me tell you something. He said, I'm going to do it again. And when I do it, I'm going to put a little extra kick in it. When I do it, I'm going to jump a little bit higher next time. Amen. Let's get that kind of attitude tonight. And there ain't no telling what God. I said, there ain't no telling what God might do at youth camp. Amen. Amen. It was David the psalmist that said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Who's ever held on to that? Amen. How many's ever got a hold of that scripture and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Amen. How many's ever been down and said, Lord, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How many's ever fell alone and saying mercy and truth shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what David wrote.
Amen. Amen. David's the one that went back to Jerusalem and told the Jebusites. He said, listen, David, you ain't as bad as you think you are. Amen. I blind can keep you out. I crippled. We'll put them on the mark, and they're going to keep you out. And David said, give me somebody. Amen. Give me somebody that'll go up. And old Joab said, here I am. And they went up, and they overthrew the stronghold, and they retook Jerusalem. That's the kind of popularity and that's the kind of character, amen, of the great warrior that I'm preaching to you tonight about. Amen. As I began to look at David, I began to read this scripture. I saw his popularity, but I also saw his people. Hey, man, you look at them. Those that surrounded David. Those that were his inner crowd. Hey, man, there was that priest, Ahithophel, if I'm pronouncing that right, that would stab David in the back. And David said, it was my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. Hey, man, who did eat of my bread, and he has lifted up his heel against me. Amen. It was David's child. Amen. That said, I can be a greater king than my dad. And I'm not going to take it the right way, but I'm going to go behind his back and not only take the kingdom, but I'm going to destroy my father in the process. That was the kind of people that surrounded David. Amen. Can I give you a warning tonight, young folk? You want to know who you are. Amen. You want to know what you really, really are and how people see you. Why don't you look at the person next to you? Amen. That one you hang around. Amen. That one you spend your time with. And you will see. I said you will see what you like and what you dislike. I don't hear no amens in that. I said, I don't hear no amens in that. My grandma Bridges used to say, you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. Come on now. Come on. I said, you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. You can't expect to hang around
half-hearted people. Amen. Worldly in their dress, worldly in their attitude, and you can't expect to be holy at that kind of influence. I'm telling you, we must be a separate people. I said we must be a separate people.
Amen. I know the argument. We are in the world. I know we are in the world, but we are not of the world.
Amen. One man went to the docks one day, and he saw him curing those salt mackerel. And he said to them, "What are you doing?" And they poured the salt on those mackerel. And they said, "We're curing them so that they will last longer." And he said, "Does that salt give them their taste?"
They said, "Yes." Amen. Hence, salt mackerel. Amen. He said, all of a sudden it came over him. He began to rejoice. He thought to himself, and he went to church and testified on that night. He got up and he said, "Pastor," he told what he learned. He never knew that before. He said, "Pastor," he said, "the Holy Ghost spoke to me after that man told me that the salt mackerel got his taste from salt." And he said, "The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if the salt mackerel can live in the ocean and not taste salty, I can live in the world and not be worldly." Come on now. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, if you surround yourself with people that got a desire to serve God, that's got a desire to move up higher, it will influence you. I said it will influence you. Amen. I said, I've got a problem with young folks that say they're on fire from God, and they hang around these boys, amen, that act like, amen, not boys. Come on now. I said they act like not boys. Can I give you some advice, young man? If you're a man, act like a man.
Nobody wants to see you press and sis. Amen. Nobody wants to see you flaunt. I'm telling you tonight, we need some godly young men.
Amen. I don't believe David walked up to the Jebusites limp-wristed with his hair poofed up. Come on now. David didn't have Spike in jail. How? Come on. Say amen, boys. Come on now. I love you anyway. But I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll pattern ourselves after the world. We'll try to look like them and act like them. But I'm telling you, my people are different. Amen. The ones I want to be around are peculiar, and they're called out.
Hey, man, let me move on before I lose you here. Amen. Amen. You know, we all, and I'm with you, we all want people to pat us on the back. And we all want to be accepted. And that's just human. I mean, how many want to get up and preach and have somebody come up to you and say, "Boy, that flopped"? How many want to do your best and somebody come up to you and say, "Man, that's about the worst I ever heard"? You don't want to hear that. Everybody likes to hear every now and then, "Well, you should have done good. Lord really helped you." Or, you know, "I appreciate you." That encourages at times. But the Bible says, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." I have learned in this way. When you serve God, everybody ain't going to like it. And then everybody ain't going to say, "Well, amen, they're doing good. I sure like their attire. I sure like the way they walk and talk and dress." Can I tell you something, young lady? Amen. You might be called Mother Hubbard. Amen. They might call you old Mother Hubbard that lived in a shoe. But thank God you ain't like her cupboards bare. Amen. I said, thank God we got some young women that's got some modesty about them that want to act like people that are God called. Amen. They might have been fleeing. They might have been traveling uphill. But this wasn't ordinary, folks. It was a kingly procession. Amen. King David and all the loyal bunch. They might not accept us. They might not try to, or they might try to run us out of town. But we can keep our morals and our standards and our convictions if we travel uphill.
Thank God. Amen. But in every life, in every life, as David is dethroned, David walks through the desert. Amen. Think it not strange, dearly beloved, concerning the fiery trials which are try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Amen. In this world, my God said, you shall have tribulation. Amen. It's going to tribulate. Amen. The old black preacher said, when God sends tribulation, he expects you to tribulate. Amen. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, if I have overcome the world. I've climbed some hills in my day. I've had some uphill battles, and so have you. But thank God, we're not climbing alone. I said, thank God we're climbing with somebody that knows something about hillsides. That's somebody that knows how to get us up and over the obstacles of life. Amen. How many has ever read the book Pilgrim's Progress? Wow. Maybe you didn't hear me. How many has ever read the book Pilgrim's Progress? How many went to school? I thought everybody's read that. I read that when I was going to school. I went to a worldly school. They made us read it. When Pilgrim comes to the hill difficulty, he's got to go up that hill. And in the book I read, there was a poem that went along with it. And it went something like this. The hill, though high, I climbed, or covet to ascend, the difficulty will not me offend. For I perceive the way of life is here. Come, pluck up heart. Let's neither faint nor fear. Better thou difficult the right way to go than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe. Amen. Can I tell you tonight that if you go to the left or the right, whichever way it might be, and get off that straight and narrow path, it might get bumpy and the hill might get hard to climb. But I'm telling you, it ain't no mountain for a child of God. It ain't no climb for a true hiker. It ain't no climb for somebody that's made up their mind, come what may, I'm going to climb the hill. I'm going to ascend unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? I'm looking to them. But now I'm going to climb a little higher. Amen. It ain't all about climbing in woe. But as you climb, remember, you're getting closer to God. Come on. I wish we realized tonight, yes, there are troubles and trials, but there is a God that walks with us. Amen. Amen. But as you climb, have you ever noticed, I don't know how many has ever been up in the mountains, Brother Mike Maxim, Brother Brad knows him, great friends, and love each other. And anyway, you just got to know Brother Maxim, Brother Brad does, and I do, and he is a character. You should call my wife Minerva. And it got on her nervous. Amen. Did you get that? I just made that up. Somebody write that down for later. or you just call her Minerva. I think she might like that. Amen. He used to call her Minerva, and she'd say, my name ain't Minerva, it's Michelle. He walk up laughing. She loves me. Amen. I mean, he liked a pig. We was way up in the mountains one time in this place called Boca de Monte. Way up in the mountains. And the truck was supposed to come pick us up. We waited 6 hours and it was not there. And Brother Maxim was an old veteran. Tough as nails. I mean, you couldn't mess with him. I seen him eat one time. Brother Frankie. Brother Alberino Franklin. We was on the islands. They brought out rotten lobster. And Brother Frankie couldn't even eat it. And Brother Maxim said, I eat worse than this in Vietnam. I ate every bit of it. Didn't even get sick. I said, oh, man, I ain't touching that. He was up there and he said, I can't take this waiting 6 hours. And, brother, he didn't travel lightly. He had two big old suitcases. And those little Guaymi Indians, they wasn't about that. They ain't about that tall. But they're tough as nails, too. And they said, we ain't walking. It was about a 2-hour and a half, 3-hour walk down hill and uphill and everything. They said, we ain't walking back down there with him. Because he ain't going to make it. He's too old. And Brother Maxim was 50, in his 50s at that time. And they said, he will never, ever make it. And finally, Brother Maxim picked up those suitcases. And he said, you boys can come or you can wait. I
I am walking. And do you know he outwalked every one of us and never set those suitcases down? I mean, I don't know if it was just true grit or stubbornness, but he made up his mind. He threw his backpack and he began to walk. And that night I began to talk to him. I said, "Brother, I don't understand it." I said, "I've been living up here 2 months. And at that time I wasn't maybe, you know, a couple of pounds lighter than I am now. Maybe not as robust as I am now. Let's say it that way. But I was in a whole lot better shape. But I've never, ever been able to strive and climb it like that. I mean, my breath, I just can't breathe. Feels like your lungs can't get enough air. They tell me the oxygen level is different up there. But Brother Maxim said, he said, when I was in the service, they knew that we might have to go somewhere where the climate was different. He said, so they took us to Colorado, way up in those mountains. And he said, every day we had to run about a 4-story flights of stairs up to the top, ring a bell, run back down, and run back up again. He said, I threw up. He said, I fainted. He said, I fell out. He said, but I got to the point I could run, ring the bell, run back up, ring the bell. He said, I'd run up the third time just for fun. Amen. He said, I got used to it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just can't seem to get used, amen, to the climate of climbing, when it seemed like every devil in hell has jumped on your back. Amen. It seemed like every demon from that pit is whispering in your ear, you cannot make it. I mean, how many left last year? 2008 youth camp. You left stepping high. I mean, you left with the power of God. You found it in the altar. God helped you. God encouraged you. You left higher than you ever had left. But all of a sudden, about a week later, you found yourself climbing a hill, out of breath, discouraged, wondering what had happened between Thursday night at youth camp and where you are now and where you were then.
Anybody ever been there? Young folk, have you ever been there? I think a lot of times young folks get a bad rap. I sat inside an elder preacher one night, and a young boy got out and testified and poured his heart out to the congregation before God. Wept. Didn't say what he was going through, but said he was going through it. Man, he is heavy hearted. He wasn't about 16, maybe 15 years old. And the elder preacher beside me leaned over. And I prayed to God the boy didn't see it. And chuckled. And said, he ain't old enough to have any trouble. I mean, the Holy Ghost came on me. I said, brother, you don't know what kind of trouble he's got. Amen. Some of you fight it every day at home. Woo! Hey, man, some of you young girls are working in a secular field where they call you homely. Well, they tell you, why don't you just be like us? Hey, man, you sure get your man a whole lot faster if you start trimming. You sure get you a boyfriend a whole lot faster if you wear your clothes a little tighter and start acting a little more flirty with the men. Come on now. Some of you boys are around friends at school that say, hey, why do you got to be so stiff? Why do you got to be so straight? Why do you got to be so nerdy? But I'm telling you, friend, we're headed somewhere. Don't you get detoured. Don't you let them get to you. You carry that banner high. And there's going to come a day, young or old, that God's going to look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. I mean, David's in the desert. He's climbing. The climate has changed. I mean, it's not all partying. It's not all feasting. He's running for his life. He's heavy-hearted. I mean, his son, you can almost, as you read this, you can sense the heavy-heartedness. He's lost a child because of sin. Amen. He's been judged by God. Amen. And the truth has come out upon him. Amen. David is heavy. His heart is heavy. Amen. He begins to walk up that hill. But in that climb, as David, amen, gets in that place, as the climate begins to change, there comes a deliverer. Hallelujah. I said there comes somebody with a message of hope. Now I know we can take this scripture and some say that Ziba was a traitor and that he was a liar and that all this. I don't know about all that because the Bible really doesn't tell us whether he was truthful or not. But I know when everybody else was waving their hands and saying, oh, King Absalom, amen, Ziba came with help. Amen. Ziba said, listen, David, I knew you were heavy-hearted, and I knew you had to go in a rush, but I brought you some things. Amen. He said, I brought you some mules, some donkeys. And what I noticed about this, I never noticed it until I began to pray about it. He said, and they are saddled. Amen. Don't put your baggage on it. Amen. I don't put the groceries or whatever up on there. I don't put your luggage. But the Bible said they were saddled for the king's household. That might not mean nothing for you, but that means to me that God's got me a ride. Hallelujah. I said that means to me that I've got provision in the midnight hour. Well, God, I can't walk no farther. I said, God, I'm about to give out. I preached, I prayed, and I'm about as discouraged as I can be. And God says, come on, let me pick you up. I'll tote you for a while. I'll carry the burden. What's the call of the Holy Ghost? What's the call of God? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I like to eat, believe it or not, I do. Sorry, I'm going to tell you about that later, in case you want to make a sandwich after church. He said, but I got some bread. I like bread. Amen. Now, I'm different than you, and you're different than me. It was all the same, it'd be a boring world, wouldn't it? But I like bread. I went on that Atkins diet, and I figured out it was of the devil. Amen. Anything, you hear me now, this is my doctrine, this is just mine, Yeoman's 101, anything that outlaws biscuits and taters ain't right, come on, amen, if you can't eat a biscuit and some taters at your meal, I just don't think that's right, but he said, listen, David, I knew you was going to get hungry, so I bought you a sandwich, amen, go ahead and take a bite, why don't we just make a picnic right here, amen, David said, you reckon that's where David wrote? He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What in the world is King David doing? He's got out a table. He's spreading the tablecloth and is having a picnic right in the middle of warfare. I said, go ahead and eat, son. Go ahead and take your fill for God. I said, God is your provider. Begin to look at that. He's got a ride. He's got bread. He's doing all right. But the Bible said that he brought him summer fruits, raisins. Let me read you what Strong says. Apples, pears, plums, and dried grapes. In one place it said summer fruits were summer fruits. That's deep. That's deep right there. Amen. Whew, don't quote me on that. Now, if you're going to use it, say, Brother Jim said it. I guess don't go use that nowhere else. Didn't have no grapes. Didn't have no apples. But I got some dried up Georgia peaches. Had about seen their last day. Now, When I looked at that, you might have said a fruit salad. Amen. But I seen old David. Now, just forgive me for a second. But I seen old David. He's done rested up. He's done rode that donkey. And I wish Brother Bill Watson was here. We went to Panama one time. We had to go way out, and I'm going to hurry. We had to go way out up in this mountain place. It was 8 hours from when we got off the truck walking. 8 hours. And I told him, I said, bring 4 donkeys. We're going to need 2 for luggage and 2 to carry the white boys. Amen. They came with 2 donkeys. And Brother Bill was sick at that time. That's when he was going through his prostate cancer. And me being the gentleman that I was, I very hesitantly said, you ride. I'll walk. Brother Bill said, well, I'll go up the road a little ways. I'll ride. I'll stop. We'll trade out. Good deal. Yeah. We got to walking. It wasn't 10 minutes until we come to the hill. And I was about dead. And them brothers were laughing. And they was just a laughing. And they look back and they laugh. And one brother, I mean, he's as somber as anybody could be. His name is Antonio. And he never cuts up. And he was bent over double. He was laughing so hard. And I said, what is so funny? He said, we're seeing on which mountain you're going to die on. He said, I have said you want to make it up this one. And I thought, buddies, you're going to find out how far I'm going to make it. This old fat boy's going to walk. And I walked. And it is so strange that 8 hours later when I walked into that village, there said Brother Bill Watson, amen. I said, I thought you was going to stop and let me ride that donkey. And I told him that night, I said, boys, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to pay good money for somebody to find me a mule out of here. And we was there 2 days. And finally they went up. They don't tie them up. They just let them graze up in the mountains. And finally this little boy, he's about 9 years old. I felt so sorry for him. He'd been looking for that donkey for 2 days. He come walking up and he looked at me. He said, I'm sorry, brother. He said, I can't find him. He said, I hear him braying up in the mountains. But he said, I think he saw you and he's a running for cover. Amen. So here we go. I mean, we tear out of walking and we're walking up them hills up and down, up and down. And they said, well, brother, it's going to be easier because we're walking downhill. I'm thinking, man, every fat cell I got's wrapped around my heart and I'm about to die. And all of a sudden I said, God, if you hear me, I want a horse. Amen. You pray what you want to pray for. I prayed for a horse. Amen. Brother Tony Walker, I walked around that corner. And when I did, I stepped onto the flattest ground you've ever seen. I didn't even notice it coming in. A pretty green pasture. And there sits Silver. I mean, the prettiest white horse you've ever seen. I said, find who owns him. I'm going to rent him. And they went and found old boy. He was cutting weeds down there in the bottom of that valley. And they got him up. Took about 30, 40 minutes to get him there. And when he got there, they told him what we wanted to do. He looked at me. He looked at that horse. He looked at me again. He looked at that horse. He said, how much you weigh? I told him. He said, I don't think so. I said, I'm telling the truth. He said, okay. And he got his big grin on his face. And I didn't care, you know, don't carry much money up in the jungles. You don't need it. So, but I happened to stick a $100 bill. And I had $20 in fives in my pocket, but I had the $100 bill put back just in case. And he said, okay, but I'm going to have to charge you. I said, man, go ahead, the $100's right here. He said, $5. Yeah, oh, whatever. I mean, that's pretty high, but I'll take it. Hey, man. I got up on that horse, and Brother Bill said, when I got up on it, he went, ooh. And I got up on him, that horse started trotting, and he never ever, I mean 7 hours, that horse never broke a sweat. He looked like the palest, sickest thing I've ever seen in my life. But Brother Bill's horse was a struggling. I mean, he was having a time, and that old horse, I was around just kicking his heels up. Amen. They stopped, and they said, we're going to let the horses drink water right here, and you can get off and rest. My horse wouldn't even be still. I mean, he was walking around like this. He was just a prancing. I got back on him, and I mean, we went all the way to home. I didn't walk. I didn't even break a sweat. When I got off that horse, I mean, I was refreshed. Well, my legs feel better. Whew. I think I'll sit down and have a meal. That's what David did. Amen. That's what I vision him doing anyway. What you gonna do if a man gives you bread and offers you a ride? Turn it down? No. Amen. But all of a sudden the Bible said he had summer fruit. Just picture this, women. I'm gonna move on. I mean, David's rested from the ride. Amen. David's done got encouraged just a little, got relaxed, done had a good meal. He's wiping his mouth. He's up, about ready to get to walk again, and all of a sudden we got dessert. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I tell you, God's got enough, and after you give your fill, after you pull up to the table and get all you want, he's got chocolate cake to spare. Amen. He's got enough to get you through all the way to next year. He's got enough that can carry you shouting all the way home through troubles and trials and a home life that's unstable. I'm telling you, God's got dessert. And somebody say amen tonight.
Amen. But I'm telling you, this is what I want to talk to you just for a few more minutes. His provision was great. I want to be a little hip tonight, fit in with the younger folks. I was going to talk about his refreshing. But if you don't mind, I want to talk about his pick-me-up. Amen. You know, we got folks drinking Red Bull, Vault, Monsters, them energy drinks. Want to get energy. But after they drink that sugar, after a couple hours, it wears off, and they go down. Amen. Feel worse than what they did when they started. Amen. But Ziba said, listen, I've got bread. I've got asses that are saddled. I've got summer fruit enough. Amen. I thought about all these things that I had. And he said, I've got one flagon of wine. And I thought, man, they've got a whole bunch of people. And he just got one bottle of drink. How in the world is he going to give all them something? But can I tell you, in God's kingdom, a little goes a long way. Amen. Do you know tonight that God knew you were going to be here? Do you know tonight, even before we put our foot on this campground and turned on the air conditioner and the tabernacle lights, amen, God knew exactly who'd be here tonight, and I believe the Holy Ghost has come by and poured a little wine upon the altar, amen, that you might be refreshed and picked up to fight on. I said, God has come by tonight and poured out a little wine that you might be picked up and refreshed to carry on. Could somebody lift their hand tonight and say, I need it, God. Amen. I need that pick me up. Dishing out bread, but God said, come on to youth camp. You might be the MC, you might be carrying a load, but I got enough wine to get you through. I've got enough refreshment to get somebody out of the valley and up on the mountaintop. I wish somebody would shout amen.
He said that wine was had so many purposes for healing. Amen. But can you imagine that moment? That old parched throat. That old hungry soul. That old depressed spirit. Some of you have fought the very spirit of depression and oppression. I'm telling you, I have felt the Holy Ghost speak to my heart on that time and time again. It's not just young.
There's older folks that are here tonight. I told Brother Kyle, he asked me, he said, how do you feel like preaching this week? I told him, I said, but I'm telling you, I feel different tonight. It's a different crowd. And God has spoke to me for you. If you'll listen to God, He'll help you. Man, it's awful quiet. There's some of you that sit right here tonight that you've been climbing. Your heart is heavy. Your spirit is vexed. You have had enough. You feel like people have turned against you. You feel like you can't do right in nobody's eyes. And you feel like nobody understands. Help me right now that you would believe that I speak to you as God's man. And I have heard from heaven to tell you God's got some refreshing. God will pick you up if you can stand in the pool tonight. Aren't you tired of walking with your head down? Aren't you tired of crying and feeling like it just ain't worth it? God will help you if you just come to the place where He's poured out the wine. You've struggled to get here. You've looked forward to it. And I know it's a time of fun. You're going to be with your friends. But some of you came tonight hoping that you'd find help. Oh, pray, church. Pray. Stand to your feet all across this congregation. I need a song. Somebody give me a song. It might not seem like much. It's an old picture. If you let Him, God will help you. How many times, Brother Buddy, could you testify to this congregation that you come heavy and God met you at the altar? How many times, Brother Blake, as a young man, can you testify when you felt like the world turned against you? Your own friends that you once hung with look at you like, what in the world are you doing? God's met you at the altar. Oh, God. This altar's open right now. I want you to listen to me right here. We're going to let everybody come pray in a second, but I want you to listen to me right here. I feel like, and I know it's different in you camp service, and I know this might be different than normal, but I really feel like young and old, there are some that's struggling that need to hear and get a touch from heaven. I mean, you just need to get lifted up in your spirit. You have been, just felt like knocked down by the devil. God said He'll help you if you'll come. Come on. Come on. Will there be somebody else? Step out right now. Oh God. Amen. You won't never get help if you don't drink. You won't never get help if you don't get where the wine is. Amen. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't let the devil oppress you. Won't you let God help you tonight? Won't you get in the altar and let God help you?
Amen. Those of you that remain right now, won't you come gather around these young folks? Amen. Those of you that are standing, won't you come gather around these young folks tonight? Ask God to help them. Ask God to lift them up above the problems of life. Oh, sweet Lamb of God.